So, how do you think it all ends?
Not with a bang, but with a whimper. Welcome to Cutthroat Cinema Podcast. I'm your host, O.
And I'm your host, L.
And today we talk about Halloween Ends, the finale in the trilogy from David Gordon Green.
Yes.
Right?
And Danny McBride. And some extra writers for this finale. Oh,
are there?
Yes, there were.
Well, maybe it sucked. The end.
Show's over, people.
Show's over.
I think we could do a in unison. You would tell me to put it higher.
Yeah, dummy. Yeah, this was a solid disappointment. The more I think about it, the more I feel like the bones of the story were really good. But for the most part, it felt like one of those later Hellraiser movies where they just took a random script and are like, hey, now it's a Hellraiser movie.
Maybe you're judging it a little too harshly to compare it to Hellraiser End games, you know?
I don't know.
I think it's
fairly judged.
I can I will give Green and McBride some credit for trying to do something different.
Same.
in a franchise that's just more of the same, more of the same. The setup for it was poor. I would think not to bring up Star Wars, but they...
We're going to get to that.
But yeah, we could... they definitely Star Wars this franchise.
Yeah, I think that's... I think actually that's a very fair assessment. If you look at the three movies from each franchise as a whole, the first one had kind of like middling, but for the most part, positive reviews, right? Yeah, Halloween 2018.
And potential in the sense that... Well... Personally, like
they could have gone somewhere with the story.
Yeah, I mean, it could have just ended there, which I think was maybe the overall plan.
Hmm? It was the case for both, no?
What, for the Star Wars movies? No.
I mean, do you see the first one having been the potential being there, too, for the first Star Wars sequel?
No. I think Disney definitely wanted a trilogy, but
No matter what.
Mm. But they had no overall story arc. They were just like, release this movie and we'll worry about where it's going afterwards. And I think that was kind of the same thing with Halloween, with, you know, Green and McBride's trilogy, wink, wink. Even though, let's be honest, this wasn't meant to be a trilogy. This was, man, Halloween 2018 made bank. Studios like more, you know?
Yeah.
To quote Big Boss and Dick Tracy, Al Pacino, more. And that's basically what happened. And anyone, you know, I mean, we'll get into the story eventually, but anyone who saw this movie and thought they had a plan from day one for this is, you know.
I definitely thought this was going to be more unanimously hated, sort of like the Rise of Skywalker was, in terms of like, oh, well, like, I think The Last Jedi was very divisive, right? And Halloween Kills, I would also say, is divisive. So I thought more people, like, I'm like, oh, if they're going in the same direction, I thought more people were going to hate this last movie. And while initially that seemed like the case when Halloween Ends released, now I'm like a week or so later, I'm starting to see more and more people coming out defending it. So
yeah, I think as people like calm down a little bit and, you know, like, okay, let me just sit back and think a little bit. Okay, I'm not as angry as I was when I first saw it. I think that's kind of what people are thinking. And, you know, as they come back down or maybe watch it a second time, because I'll give credit where credit is due. Like I've said, like, ooh, Halloween is always the same shit over and over again. How many times can you see Michael Myers thrash and kill people?
I agree.
So I will give it credit for that. But I have problems with the setup. And
to be fair, it's not even necessarily the setup that I have the issue with. It's realistically the fact that they tried to contain it all to one movie.
Well,
when the second movie, Halloween Kills, didn't have any kind of real plot. It was literally just murder, 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 murder. And and I wouldn't even say character development.
Well, that's what I mean with the setup. Like, if Corey,
yeah,
his story arc was happening over three movies,
yeah, or even over two,
or even into, or just, you know, yeah, like planted in right. the last movie, even in Kills, if it was planted in Kills, then I would have been like, kudos, bro. Yeah. Like you got me, you know, like you had a plan, but yeah. like this was no plan.
You do the time jump at the beginning of the second movie and not at the beginning of the third movie. And that way you have ample time to build your character of Corey. Your ample time to really go through what he goes through and kind of seeing the town turn on him, and the back and forth with Michael Myers. Is he still around? Is he not still around?
Yeah, let's.
And then we'll talk a little bit more. Spoilers. Yeah, we'll talk more spoilers as we go. We can start from the beginning, though. I have 4 pages of notes on my phone.
Oh, I'm just like improvising all this because.
Well, some of these notes are yours as well. Yes, so yes. every mm-hmm. time we talk, I'll bring something.
You wrote
up.
It down. I just like yeah. I just said, there was too what
much.
Is this?
There was too much.
But kudos to Corey.
To Corey, yeah, yeah. the Campbell, actor, yeah, Rowan
Campbell.
Campbell, yeah, right? Yeah. He's. I hope, and you know,
this would not have worked with somebody who was like if the acting was poor, because he definitely pulled it off. Despite some cringe scenes, still, there was no doubt that he pulled it off. Because if it wasn't for very him, if agreed. He had a shitty actor in this role...
it wouldn't have worked.
No, definitely not. Absolutely
I
not.
I think that he is a fantastic actor, and I hope that him being in this movie doesn't, like, detour his career, because he was generally one of the better parts of the movie.
Yeah, I don't think it will. I think people will remember his performance.
From what I've seen so far... That definitely seems to be the case.
Yeah, I think people
some people didn't like his character in the movie, but it was because of what felt like a weird insertion for the last part of a trilogy.
Yeah, well, because it was just it's funny because somebody out there, if you're hearing this, please make the meme of like J.J. Abrams and Disney going, "I ruined the franchise," and then Rian Johnson going, "Hold my beer," and then David Gordon Green going, "Hold my beer."
Yeah, it's like even more hold my beers.
Yeah. But yeah, he definitely stood out, and I know people were like annoyed with Jamie Lee Curtis's story arc in it too, because we definitely have our problems with it. But she got to shine a little bit, as opposed to Kills, where she did nothing.
In Halloween Kills, Laurie Strode was out of commission for almost the whole movie.
She was out of commission. Let's be
and
honest.
And then Halloween Ends, Michael Myers is out of commission for almost the whole movie. So I'm like, okay, whatever. I don't know why you decided to do this, but whatever.
Yeah, despite, again, like stupid story writing, because it was for her character, it didn't make sense, especially in contrast to 2018 Halloween, where she's a Sarah Connor-like character with PTSD, which was a battle I had nonstop with people when I would talk about that movie. I didn't understand how she could just let it all go in this one, but her acting was very good. So that's, I guess, my thought on that. Yeah, so I guess we could talk about the movie.
The movie itself, yeah.
I like the opening.
Which part?
Just the opening in general for the movie. It was...
Like the pumpkin thing or the actual opening?
I think the whole from the Halloween 3 lettering to the pumpkin just constantly opening in on itself, and the Corey and the kid scene, I thought was all clever. I enjoyed it.
So I initially just relax there.
Relax there, pussy kid.
Yeah, exactly. Initially I thought the song choice was odd, but then like realistically it kind of seemed like it was trying to do like an homage to like the 50s and 60s music that was kind of used in the original Halloween movie.
Weren't the parents dressed in like 50s outfits?
No, well, the wife I think was like a no, she was like a flapper. She was like 20s.
Oh, was it 20s?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I have no fucking idea what the dad was dressed as.
I don't even remember.
But no, that opening scene in general was all right. The homage to not homage. They were literally showing John Carpenter's The Thing.
Right.
Which is one, an homage to the original Halloween where they were watching The Thing from another planet.
Member berries?
Member?
Thank goodness for less member berries.
Yes. There was a lot less in this movie. However, I do think it's funny that there's that general rule of don't put a movie that's better than yours as a reference
in your movie.
In your movie.
True.
And that's one of the best movies, like, agreed upon by everybody.
For sure.
And it's like, oh, I wish I was watching that instead. But I, as much as like, okay, the opening scene wasn't bad. Like, I get what they were trying to do. They were trying to make Corey out to be like this nice, maybe if not somewhat like invisible guy who's just kind of like, yeah, I'll do whatever because, you know, I'm a nice guy. And if I get asked, I'll say yes. The dad sort of ignores him from the get-go, and then the kid is a little shit. I feel like they purposely made the kid a little bit of a shit to not feel as bad for when he dies.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a theme throughout the whole movie. I think a lot of the people who die in the movie are shits. They're all kind of mean-spirited people, which is like, am I supposed to be rooting for the bad guys in this again?
Yeah, that seems odd. Why am and I more feeling... so? More so than Halloween Kills.
Yeah. Why am I feeling empathy for the villain? You know, I mean, again, it just that, but that goes towards like the writing again. It's not, I'm not supposed to be feeling empathy for the bad guy. You Correct. Know, maybe, I guess, you feel bad for him at the start, sure, but everyone's a dirtbag, everyone's a shithead. Like, he literally. You know, I mean, yes, I'm jumping, but everyone's a piece of shit in this movie, of the people he kills for the most part.
Yeah, so, I'm trying to think of anyone he kills that isn't, like,
I mean,
if not mean to him at some point, then, like, cruel or cowardly.
Maybe the one girl in the band, first of all, the band bullies, but the one girl seemed a little nicer, you know, but.
Marching band. First of all, I'm sorry. If you're going to go with the stereotypes of, like, kids who pick on people, I guess thinking out of the box, the fucking marching band kids are the ones bullying this grown man, by the way.
Yeah, who's much older and definitely seems, like he could kick their asses.
For sure.
Yeah, she there was like that one girl that seemed she was nicer and sweeter but to him. But
not really.
And she's no, she
they're all mean to him.
Okay. But, fine. But she still gets run over with a fence and then I think he stomps on her. I don't know, it was like a few days ago.
Yeah.
Right? He stomped on her.
Eventually. But yeah. Well, so we'll get to that, right?
Yeah, but like we were saying, I think everyone he kills is a terrible person.
Is kind of mean or terrible. Yeah. And we'll get way more into that as the movie goes on. So, yeah, he asked that. The reason I'm like about the opening is I guess you have the staircase, right? So it's like Chekhov's staircase. You have this big, crazy, long, tall staircase that the mom is looking for the kid up and then gets scared, right? Then when the kid... Also, is he wearing this mask, the kid?
The ugly American, like, werewolf, the Nazi werewolf mask or something.
When he surprises his mom?
Maybe.
Because now that I think about it, and it's been staring at me in the face because we're in a new setup here. So I have an American werewolf like thing staring me in the face.
He might have been.
It might have been.
I don't remember. But can I say what an ugly kitchen for such a nice big house?
What the fuck? Definitely the case. But no, so right. It's Chekhov's staircase. So you see the thing, and then later on it has to come into use. And then when the kid locks him in the attic, I guess, and he like kicks open the door and the kid goes, I don't mean to laugh, but the way it's filmed is even silly. Like, the parents come home and then they hear Corey going, I'm going to kill you. Mm-hmm. And he kicks open the door and the kid goes flying, and then you see his head bounce. And it's like, that's fucking terrible. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty graphic, the impact and everything.
Yeah, but the head bounce, I feel like, is unnecessary. It made it silly.
My enjoyment of the opening scene up until that, well, until you realize what happens, is that the idea is supposed to be that is Michael coming into the house, but then obviously later on you find out
right
that he's not.
They vaguely mention Michael Myers because I guess like maybe a year had passed.
It was a year, yeah.
It was about a year.
Yeah, because the mom mentions that.
Like, last year.
The kid is like afraid of the dark and he's terrified of Michael Myers and he wets the bed. Yeah. Meanwhile, he's a little shit who tries to scare Corey into thinking Michael Myers is in the house.
Yeah.
So, and that's how he gets him into the attic. But.
What does he call him? Does he call him like a bitch ass babysitter or something?
Yeah, he's just a.
He's a little fuck.
He's a little fuck. And again, like, to make you. More,
dislike him and like Corey,
but it doesn't fully work. But I did, up until like that point, think like because I didn't know much of like what was going on, like spoilers for the most part. I had heard something about you know, that there'll be a second killer in the movie.
I hadn't heard anything about it.
Okay. Yeah, I just heard that there would be a second killer in the movie. But I would think that the opening was like, oh, is this where Michael makes his return? I did kind of like the idea that, you know, it was kind of like the opposite of the first Halloween, the child killer, you know, the sister like slash babysitter, right? That his sister was like babysitting him in a way, but she was really just fucking around.
Yeah.
And now you have like the opposite. Corey's babysitting the kid and Corey murders the kid. And then like the parents come home, right? So it's like that opposite effect of the first movie.
Yeah.
But and then Corey gets arrested and exonerated.
Yeah. So let's talk about the pumpkins, right? So when we first have the Halloween Ends title card with the Halloween 3 font and all the pumpkins are changing shapes into each other, you don't really know what that's about until the end of the movie.
Yeah, it has like a significant meaning.
It has a significant meaning. So then when the movie opens again after the kid killing scene, you hear Laurie Strode talking. And at first I thought she was like reading her book to people. You know what I mean? Like she had, like
sitting in a classroom,
like sitting, yeah, like or at a book reading or a book reading. Signing. Okay. You know where they read prompts from their book,
excerpts,
and then yeah, the I was like, oh, it's weird and echoey, and I think you had mentioned that as well. Like, why does it sound like the an sound echo?
Sounded
so
terrible.
Sound design was weird, but it wasn't like she wasn't in a classroom. She was sitting in her fucking at her desk,
in her office room, in her work from home office room.
Yes, just. Typing away. And that scene of her talking is over clips of the original movie, not 2018 Halloween, 1978 Halloween. So it's like, oh, here's a little nostalgia bait. Here's, look at that scene of her, you know, hiding in the closet and jumping out and being stalked through the streets while she's walking with her friends. Like
didn't they in that scene make sure to show you she sticks the needle in his neck and everything?
Yeah, they did all of that. So it's again, it's one of those things where it's like, should you really be referencing scenes from a better movie in your movie? Yeah, I have here nice house shit kitchen. Yeah, suddenly so you find out after the events of Halloween Kills that Laurie Strode, after losing her son-in-law, her daughter, half the town, gone through a trauma of almost dying herself yet again, is Mary fucking Homemaker now.
Yeah, which is, this is where now I'm like, okay.
I don't understand.
This is another one of those, they had no idea what they were doing. Whether after 2018 or definitely after Halloween Kills, okay? So maybe they hadn't, you know, oh, this is what we're going to do in Halloween Kills, but they had no idea what they were doing with Ends because she goes from, you know, like I said, PTSD.
Let it burn!
Yeah, let it burn, trauma, Sarah Connor, right? Sarah Connor? But
yeah.
she couldn't let it go, right? She was a hunter. She was stalking Michael Myers, which I was okay with, right? Even though part of me, not that I'm saying, you know, a serial killer chases you and kills two or three of your friends, and then 40 years later, you're still, he's out there. I need to kill him. I can't rest. But now he's still out there. And not only did he kill three of your friends 40 years ago, but now he's killed like hundreds of your friends and you're just over it while he's still out there. This is where, This is where the writers failed. The plot's gone. I'm sorry. How is she knitting and
you've
making
lost
pies?
The plot, David Gordon Green.
Yeah, and Danny McBride.
And Danny McBride.
Okay, and the other two writers, whoever you are. It's over. It doesn't make sense anymore. She can't, I'm sorry, I can't buy that she's, you know, homemaker now and knitting. And
baking pies,
yeah,
sir.
Which she failed at, which, okay, you're showing that she's not cut out for this life, maybe, but you still failed. How is she? Oh, I bought a home. I'm living with my granddaughter. I'm writing a book. I'm starting a new life. I'm not living in fear anymore. First of all, get the fuck out of Haddonfield.
Right.
Okay? You are not going from psychotic, crazy Sarah Connor, Laurie Strode to like, oh, it's okay, it's over. The evil's still out there, but I can live a normal life. No,
right?
No, it's not working. After you showed us psychotic, alcoholic, homewrecker Laurie Strode to
homewrecker.
Well, you know, like she wrecked her own home.
Oh, that's okay, okay.
I didn't mean like she's banging other guys.
Oh, okay. Well, specifically, I think the part of all of this that bothers us so much is that you go 40 years being absolutely paranoid, which fine. Okay. I can maybe get behind that. 40 years of paranoia while Michael Myers is locked up.
Mm-hmm.
So while he's locked up in jail with security and guns, and you cannot get past it.
But you're stalking him at the...
That you're stalking mm-hmm. him to make sure he doesn't get out, or if he does, then you'll be there to stop him. But he disappears after murdering half the town and your daughter and your son-in-law, and you're like, I can move past this. Now? Now you can move past this? This is also why it makes less sense that this movie was just one movie as opposed to taking over... like Halloween Kills and Ends, because then maybe you could have shown a progression of her doing whatever, like, you know, deciding like, hey, he must have died because the town kicked his ass, or showing the aftermath of like, hey, some of the people from the mob did survive, but they all said that he was, you know, he was down for the count by the end.
Yeah,
and we threw him over the side.
Yeah.
Give some sort of context as to why she would be like, oh, well, you know what? Those people said that they killed him and threw him over a riverbank, so he must
like
be gone.
Fool.
Right, right, something like right. Okay, exactly. If you want to keep making homages to other movies,
sure.
That would have worked, right? But you literally just are like, no, she doesn't know what happened to him, but she's fine now. Okay.
Yeah, it's hard to get over that, and it
that specifically.
Yeah.
That specifically.
Mm-hmm. But, right. We can get over it because, let's be honest, most of the Halloween movies after the first one kind of suck if you think about it. Writing-wise, right? Like, come on.
Sure. Some of them feel forced. Some of them feel whatever.
Yeah.
This, I feel like, is probably up there with some of the worst ones. I'm not saying, like, Resurrection some sort of fucking masterpiece, but...
I've never seen Resurrection, and I probably never will. So
you should watch it just to say you watched it.
No, because, like, I don't... That's, like, the... I only watched Resurrection for the first, 10 minutes to watch Laurie Strode battle Michael Myers at the beginning of that. And that was it. And it was on YouTube. I don't think I'll ever watch Resurrection, even if I get the Scream Factory 4K box set one day of the, which I'll wait till next year when it's 50% off on their sale or Amazon sale or something, because I'm not paying $105.
So,
and screw you, Walmart, for canceling my $22 box set.
Walmart did. I was wondering if that
yeah it was all shipped and everything, and then it's like, oh,
never mind.
Mm-hmm. Whatever, I understand, but come on, Walmart, you're like what, $1 trillion company?
Yeah, they don't care. Okay. That's how they keep their trillions. So we get a glimpse of Corey riding his bike after we find out that she's suddenly, you know, well adjusted, riding his bike to work. And I did want to point out the graffiti that I saw.
What was it? Evil Dies Tonight?
It was quite literally the opposite. Love Lives Today. And I don't know if that's the movie makers like making fun of the fact that they used that line incessantly in the second one and people thought it was fucking stupid as shit.
They had to know they were being trolled. Like
they were trolling.
Yeah,
I guess.
They were definitely trolling. They knew people were memeing the shit out of that, and they were like, let's do a little cell phone and either cell phone ourselves or troll the people
who are super mad about it.
And let's see who'll catch it.
Yeah.
You caught it, sis.
I caught it. I was like, hey, that's some bullshit. Because I hated that fucking line more than anything. But yeah, I was like, oh, okay. I just wanted to point that out. So
yeah, wasn't that when Laurie was like talking about how like evil carries on or something like that during
it's later on.
Oh, it's later on.
It was literally just Corey riding his bike through town, and he went through like an underpass, and there was graffiti all over the place, but pretty prominently there's Love Lives Today, and I was like,
that was something. I'll give credit, I liked a little bit Laurie talking about how like Haddonfield is like cursed and like evil has like infected everyone, and you saw like people committing suicide and are like depressed. And I'll give, like, I kind of like that aspect a little bit too, that the town has taken on a little bit of like a life of its own too. So it felt like a little bit Stephen King-ish.
Yeah, like I said, good bones to the story.
Yeah, yeah. Like I like that the town can have like a life too. Like in a way, like I don't know how many people see it. I know it's like Gotham City in the new Batman movie kind of felt like it had a life. Haddonfield felt like it had like its own little life and story as well. So I like that as well. Whereas in other movies of the Halloween franchise, Haddonfield was just Haddonfield. Like this felt, you know, like I said, like something out of a Stephen King novel, like a, you know.
Yeah, I liked the initial interaction between Laurie Strode and Corey when he gets his hand cut open because he's drinking a fucking Yoo-hoo, and then
Yoo-hoo.
he's getting bullied by the 17-year-olds. Jesus Christ.
The band.
It reminds me of the John Mulaney joke where he's like, you see a group of kids walking towards you and they pick out the thing you're most sensitive about. Like, no, that's the thing I'm sensitive about. That whole joke. But yeah, it's very much one of those like, oh, he flips out and cuts his hand and he's about to fight these kids. And then Laurie Strode comes up and kind of saves the day. And then she goes, she flips out a knife and she's like, you want to slash their tires? And I thought that was funny. Yeah. I thought that was a good opening interaction between the two, right? Chaotic good, chaotic evil kind of shit.
She puts him on a dark path.
Not really.
No. He was already on it.
He was already on it.
Yeah.
So she goes and she brings her new friend, Corey. Which, you know, side note, Corey's a little bit of a fucking hot piece of ass, right? Like, he's hot. I'm a fan of his looks. I just think that the character kind of could have been better developed. So she brings him to Allison. And Allison instantly wants to bone him as well, right? Mm-hmm. So
she got the... You know.
She got the taste for the Corey.
Team Corey.
Yeah. So she gets yelled at by her prick doctor, you know, employer. And the cringiest line I think that's ever been uttered comes out of Corey's mouth. And he says, don't let him talk to you like that. It's going to make you sad.
Yeah.
I was just like, what? Why?
Why? So do you think Corey... Like, he was a college student in the beginning, right? And then clearly he either dropped out or got kicked out or...
Probably.
And... But doesn't he seem, like, mentally challenged at that point now? Or do you think he just had a complete mental breakdown?
I think he was already kind of infantilized. And we'll get... more into this detail later. He kind of... maybe dealt with some trauma prior to the kid being killed that kind of infantilized him.
We'll definitely talk about the trauma.
Yeah. Which tends to happen with people who deal with trauma or assault when they're younger, that it infantilizes them. It kind of forces them to stay the age they were when they dealt with the trauma. And he seems that way at the beginning of the movie and kind of stays that way until things start to, you know, kind of go downhill for him.
Well, he has, like, all of a sudden, like, a mental growth spur once he...
Literally in a day and a half.
Yeah, because he goes... once an incident happens, he literally goes from from zero to hero.
from nothing to... From a... is his name Michael as well? He becomes a cool writer.
The cool writer, yeah.
Which, speaking of...
He literally goes like Patrick Dempsey in Can't Buy Me Love, right? Yeah. From a complete nerd to a stud, right?
Yeah, yeah, right. And that's the thing. So he works in a junkyard with his dad. And he is... he just magically knows what's wrong with Allison's car when she's like, oh, it's making this sound. And he's like, oh, it's this thing. And it's like, oh, cool. You haven't even looked at the car yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, based off the noise she explains the car's making, he kind of assumes what the issue is, which could be a common problem he's dealt with. Let's not assume that he doesn't know what he's talking
about. I'm sure. Wasn't
he going to be an engineer, too?
Oh, I don't fucking remember.
I think that's what he said.
Anyway, so they have their little meet cute situation, Allison and Corey, and it's like, oh, okay, they're supposed to whatever.
Notice how he's in a jumpsuit and a gas station, you know, in a mechanic. And
yeah.
He's all primed.
He's already in the dark navy jumpsuit.
This is where I have another problem with the movie. Allison, right? Talk about directionless character, right?
Three movies of doing nothing.
She's had probably the most loss, if you really think about it. She has.
Yes.
In terms of like
friend, boyfriend's dad, parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just like, what the fuck is going on here, right? She literally is, I feel like they just didn't know what to do with her. And they're like, yeah, just throw her, make it all about, you know, she wants the D, you know, like she's turned on. And it just bothered me that's what would set her off, that she was just attracted to him and she, what, sensed darkness in him? It was just... They needed to be more. I can understand, well, later on, you know, with the, there's a comment, burn it, like, let's burn it down, you know? But the initial attraction, okay, like, oh, he's cute, he's lonely, you know? There's, like, that whole, I don't know, Florence Nightingale effect, right? That she treats him, so I can understand maybe that could happen.
That's a good point.
Oh, thank you. Back to the Future.
Yeah, very nice, very nice.
Thank you. So I could see that maybe happening, but then it just goes off the rails. But I just feel she's very talented. She's a talented actress. I like her, but like
they didn't know what to do with her.
No, and I think that's
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
And I think that's the fact that they just, oh, we need to have Lori, we need to have her daughter, we need to have her daughter, and it's like, you probably just had way too many characters, you know. Maybe it should have just been Laurie Strode and Karen, or Laurie Strode and Allison, you know, or maybe you should have just killed off I can't remember the actual Karen, like
at the end of the first movie.
Yeah, at the end of the first movie.
Yeah, and that's it. So you're not wasting time.
Yeah, you could have developed Allison much earlier.
Way more. Also, yeah.
Like it just, again, it goes back to, and maybe it's nitpicking, but it's just like you back to the no plan, and that's why 2018 was probably the only movie. Yes, they'll be saying, no, we had plans for two. No, you didn't. You had plans for probably one movie only.
I can't truly believe that.
No,
yeah,
I don't believe it. And you know how I don't believe it? Because the original ending for 2018 was Lori getting stabbed in the gut, twisted with a knife, and Karen crossbows Michael Myers like in the chest, you know, or something like that.
So let's quickly jump to the fact that...
Yeah, it's jump.
Yeah.
Jump.
Let's jump to the fact that the original 2018 Halloween had... Laurie Strode being the one who caused the bus accident to let Michael Myers out so she could do it. Now, event they didn't go with that.
No.
Which is dumb, because the same way Halloween Kills felt like it included all the other movies from the franchise with how like dark everything got and all that shit and how everybody was affected for some reason, this movie, Halloween Ends, specifically makes it feel like the choice they went with in Halloween 2018 was that she let him out of the bus, mm-hmm. that she caused the accident. And the reason being is because after her very much enjoyable meet cute with the sheriff again in the mm-hmm. grocery store, she goes outside smiling, and the woman who was like stabbed in the neck with the fucking fluorescent light bulb mm-hmm. is there with her sister, and she's in a wheelchair. And she's like, you're smiling after what you did, yeah. And you antagonized him. And, mm-hmm. and I'm like, so wait a second. You have this woman who's angry at Lori for just being happy, even though she technically didn't do anything except live her life and then get attacked by this monster. But she's somehow the antagonist. Mm-hmm. If you had gone with your original fucking plan, David Gordon Green. Mm-hmm. I've really been enjoying calling out the directors directly because mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, if you had gone with your original
and Danny McBride,
I keep forgetting about him. Mm-hmm. If you had gone with your original fucking thought process of going, wow, she's so paranoid that she causes the bus accident that releases him and mm-hmm. then everyone hates her, that would have made way more sense, because more than one person says it to her in the movie, or says it to Allison via
the DJ says it to Allison later on.
But you get this sense that she's disliked by the whole town because of her relationship with Michael Myers. She didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know, because I know, not to bring like shit that's happened in the real world into it, right? But I know that at some point the director and Jamie Lee Curtis was like, these movies are very Me Too, right? So is part of Me Too was also very much like, you know, some people were blaming the victim, right? Not everybody was blaming the perpetrator. Some people were blaming the victim. So did they try to push that in the story of like, you have the townsfolk blaming Laurie Strode, the victim, you antagonized him, like, oh, you wore a short skirt, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like
maybe it's a possibility,
you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel like they maybe went in that, because unfortunately a product of the Me Too movement was also people going, well, what did she do, you know, that caused that? Like, it's fucking shitty. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, are you going with that? Like, I feel like it makes sense in terms of a fucking serial killer, you know, coming after you. Like, that's, why not just stick with your original plan? Because you don't want Lori to be unlikable?
The original plan should have been just 2018 and that's it.
But if you're going to do it, at least this way you have your bones to make your story, right? That's my issue with all three of these movies. The bones are there. The basis for the story could have really worked and really could have been something amazing, and it just wasn't.
The bones were there in the sense of... Are the bones there? The only bones I think were there are the burned body bones. Now, I don't think the bones were there in the sense that maybe they wanted to do a sequel if 2018 did well. But even then, if they wanted to do a sequel, like, I'm sorry, Halloween Kills had no major story. Look at the direction they went in, right? He just wants to go home, right? Where did they go with that storyline? They went nowhere other than, oh, look, they... So what?
They completely dropped it.
They dropped it.
Which we called in the last one.
And then you could say possibly, well, they destroyed the house, so now where is he going to go? Oh, he went... So was his home giving him power? I doubt it. It was clearly he was killing people and that gave him power. But he went all, like, OP in that brawl where he got shot, stabbed, hit with a baseball bat, a 2x4... kills everyone, then just goes and kills Karen, right, in the house, stands at the window, and then goes into hiding all week.
Yeah, he just leaves? Like, that's what I don't understand. So
and
he
then climbs into a sewer, a cave, you know?
A
sewer grate, and then gets weak and just slowly starts to die. And then once every now and then he pulls someone in and kills them. Like, I noticed there was like the missing girl sign on Halloween, you know, like,
yeah.
So clearly like he killed her, and then you see later on he kills someone, he just starts to get stronger. But it's just, again, I'm just so disappointed with the lack of story and plot. But anyway, we keep going off topic here with how disappointed we are.
I mean, it's kind of on topic with how disappointed we are, let's be fair.
But anyway, we have Corey now. He gets attacked by the bullies.
So yeah,
right?
After his like weird, just random inane fight, and like I say, it's an inane fight with Allison. So she invites him out. They go to this bar, which, by the way, the sound mixing sucked because you could barely hear anything in the movie.
Didn't we have to put on the subtitles?
We had to put it on. And I'm like, did they do this on purpose? Or did some of the parts you could hear fine and then some of them you couldn't? Super annoying. I just think the sound mixing was bad, realistically.
Maybe it was meant to make it hard for you, viewer, to be in their shoes. But I don't need to be in the shoes of the movie people. I want to be able to hear what they're saying.
Right. The 5 seconds of happiness he has happens to be seen by the mom of the kid he killed, right? Because apparently a couple of years after her kid died, she's out drinking at a bar partying, right? I understand.
She looked miserable.
Mm-hmm. You want to drown your sorrows. I get it. Mm-hmm. And you run into the guy who killed your kid. You're going to flip out, right? And then he leaves in a huff.
Yeah, he has like a little... like a crazy panic attack.
Yeah, and
yells
Allison,
at Allison.
Yeah, and then he walks home, and then the four kids whose tires he slashed find him, and then like it's a scene almost directly pulled out of Stephen King's It. the bullies start beating him up and then throw him over the edge and think they kill him, but just fuck off instead of seeing if he's okay, which is very Stephen King's it, like literally the opening of the fucking second movie. It just feels like it's pulling from other movies and other places, and
it doesn't have its own identity either.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I like, I mean, we're gonna continue talking about the story, but the only aspect of this movie, the reason I keep saying it has good bones, is because a story talking about someone like Corey, right? Talking about a character who has done something terrible, but not on purpose, right? And has now been treated after he's been released as a fucking pariah, right? And that seemingly turns him into a monster. Because later on, you even have a scene with Laurie Strode talking to the kid's dad, the kid who died. His dad going, well, that night when he killed my son, I know he wasn't a bad kid. I could see it in his eyes. But a day ago when I saw him, that wasn't the same kid anymore, right? So there's this like underlying story where you can make the connection of, is it the same thing with Michael Myers? Michael Myers killed his sister, granted differently, but maybe with rehabilitation, could he have been helped? Could he have been could he have been made a productive member of society again, or was locking him up and then calling him the devil, saying he had the devil's eyes for 7 years, does that make him turn him into a bigger monster? Same thing with
Dr. Loomis. I don't know if you remember this. He spent 6 years trying to reach him,
and then 15 years trying to keep him locked up
or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there's that too, and it's like,
Seven years, I think, not 15 years.
Whatever the case is. But there's a correlation between Corey and Michael, obviously, that they're trying to make. And I feel like the correlation is that does treating someone who did something accidentally, or maybe someone who didn't know any better, treating them like they're a monster, turn them into that monster?
Well, there's also like the town itself, you got to think, you know, with Michael Myers, you know, like that's been infected by the boogeyman. Now that the boogeyman's kind of like gone and missing, do they make Corey their new boogeyman?
Well, the mom says that in the movie. She's like, your fucking boogeyman escaped, so they had to make my son into the boogeyman. Corey's mom's a cunt, by the way.
Yeah.
Hashtag fuck Corey's mom.
I'll give an kudos to Danny McBride and David Gordon Green when you have you know, incest moms and kitty fuckers that molest their children. Because the, you know, and something I noticed, like, why aren't people talking about this? That Corey's mom is possibly
a child molester.
Look what it possibly did to him.
Well, that's
what
the trauma we were talking about earlier about possibly infantilizing him.
Yeah, and I guess that whole like nature versus nurture thing too, right? Is he what he is because of his upbringing, you know, or is it just, you know, was he born that way too? Like, is it his surroundings that made him into what he is, or, you know, maybe just evil infected him?
But so yeah, there's this like idea after he gets we'll come back to the mom being weird and incesty.
Kitty fucker.
Yeah, it's gross. And yeah, nobody has mentioned it. But again, we'll get back to it. So after the bullies throw him off the thing in an homage to it, he runs into Michael in a cave, tunnel, whatever. And
yeah, like a sewage drain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then like chokes him out, and then like flashes happen in, you know, his eyes. You're like, oh, does he just see evil in him and decides to let him go, or does he transfer his evil into him? So it's like very like kind of silly. And then he leaves the cave or the sewage tunnel, whatever.
You know, it's weird, right? Because like, I don't think it's entirely silly. It becomes silly because of like something in the end. I'll tell you later. But I don't necessarily mind the idea of either the transference of evil going into him, considering like he was at a extremely like vulnerable state. It's just something that the, you know, either David Gordon Green, Danny McBride, the studio just wimped out on, technically.
Yeah. I guess because they didn't want to go too deep into, because pretty much they've homaged all the other Halloween movies. I guess they were maybe a little bit too afraid to go into the whole Curse of the Circle Thorn, whatever the fuck thing
is. Yeah, like that, or like, yeah, like,
because Transference is a real thing.
They wimped out with like Part Four, they did with the, what was her name? Jamie Strode, the little girl.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That she was supposed to basically have the evil transferred into her, then they just dropped it all together.
In the fifth one, yeah.
In the fifth one, where this, they kind of do it, but then still, like, wimp out.
So he leaves. So, yeah, that's the thing. Like, I just think that they wimped out in terms of wanting to put that much emphasis on the transference. So after he gets out of the sewage tunnel, he immediately kills a homeless guy. Now, granted, you're still supposed to be on Corey's side at this point. So the homeless guy is, like, aggressive. And
yeah, does he have a knife to the homeless guy?
No, I think it's his knife. It's Corey's knife. Okay. Yeah. But he, like, tries to attack him. And then
he wants the mask. He says, get
me the mask. And then he stabs him and stabs him over. And then he just leaves. He just leaves him there.
Mm-hmm.
And goes to see Allison.
Allison.
Mm-hmm. To apologize for the night before. And he's like, I need you to come with me. And she goes with him.
Mm-hmm.
To a guy she met a day and a half ago, to the house in which he murdered a child. And it's just like, yeah, this is something you do after the trauma you've been through.
Well, he tells her, I killed someone. And what you, the audience, were like, oh, yeah, you killed the homeless dude.
Right.
But he's like, no, the kid. Right. So he doesn't confess to the homeless old man murder. He says he killed the kid. Accidentally,
sure,
and like they like touch and like the and that oh we totally skipped it when he was all angry in the party.
That's after.
Oh, the hand lifting. No. When she tries to take his hands, like it was so stupid. Remember?
Oh right, that was so dumb.
Oh my god, yeah, that's why it
was so like dumb. There was something
such cringe moments in this movie.
So fucking many cringe whatever. Moments.
I mean, I just had to bring it up because it was such a stupid cringe moment. I mean, she's drunk, but she just lifts her hands like for him to take it, and he just leaves. But anyway, they go back to the house which now they left it, or now it's abandoned.
Yeah, and he's like. Later on, you see him sleeping in the house, but he's specifically sleeping on the spot where the kid died. It's just fucking like, okay. Like, are you supposed to, like, change your, like retrospect on how he, like, maybe he did do it on purpose from the beginning? It's just very weird. When Allison and him are out to dinner, he, like, again, literally, within a day and a half, he goes from this, like, meek, quiet, like scaredy cat guy to someone who straight up is just like yelling at cops in an open restaurant, like, and getting in their fucking faces.
Yeah, what's with Allison hooking up with much older men too?
Why do you say that?
Yeah, like that cop was like much older than her.
Was he?
Yeah, definitely.
He seemed maybe like 5-6 years older, not like that much.
No, he looked like 10-15 years older than her.
I don't know.
She's into that shit.
Why do you say key? Why do you, like it's one person?
Hmm?
It's one person.
It's one person.
It's one person who she hooked up with, who's like, older.
That one person.
Like,
fine.
What's the deal? Like, you're like, oh, what's the deal? Like, she'd done it 700 times. Like,
I mean, like, what's the deal with her hooking up with that much older, maybe one crooked
she was,
cop?
Maybe she was just like, hey, I need someone who's like can keep me safe and secure, and I'll date a cop. And it's a small town. And yeah,
couldn't she tell, though, that he's a dirtbag?
Well, she obviously could, which is why they weren't together anymore.
All right. Oh, let me correct myself. What's her deal with hooking up with dirtbags?
All right. There you go.
Yeah.
That's more specific.
Her high school dirtbag friend, the much older police cop man who's a dirtbag, and then Corey Cunningham.
Who kills people.
And, Michael Myers, Corey Cunningham, they both wear, like, overall, mechanic overalls. Look at that. Oh, David Gordon Green, Danny McBride, you're so clever. Hold on, let me clap for you. When in reality...
Yeah. They were a fan of alliteration. Like, they're fans of Superman.
Who's fans of Superman?
David Gordon Green and Danny McBride.
Oh. Whatever.
I'm kidding, because Lana Lane, yeah. Clark Kent.
Lana Lang.
Lana Lang.
Lois Lane.
Lois Lane. All right, who cares?
Peter Parker.
bit back.
Reed Richards, Susan Storm.
There's a lot. Holy shit. Yeah,
that's Marvel and DC.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
So when the cop, of course, who's a douchebag, also goes after Corey or follows him and kills him in the sewage pipe with Michael, Michael decides to join in. And he's like, come on, stab him. Corey's like, I'll hold him. You stab him. And yeah, he's like weak at first. And he's like, kind of like he cuts his throat a little bit.
Corey begs him to show him how to do it.
Yeah.
He's like, show me.
Do you not know how to use a knife? What the fuck?
Like, it's a fucking knife, Corey.
You put the pointy part in the fucking flesh.
You just stick it in over and over again.
Yeah.
Wait. Yeah,
<exactly. laughs> fucking terrible. Yeah, again. And I put in my notes, like, so after the situation, he goes and sees her again, Allison, because that night after he, like, stood up to the cop, she's like, do you want to come in? And he's like, not tonight, right? But literally after 2 days with this dude and one good dicking, she's, like, ready to burn the town to the ground.
She literally says, like, let's burn it to the ground.
She's like, let's burn it all to the ground. She's ready to leave with him. She's packing a bag. I'm like, really, bro? 2 days, one night of dicking. That's it. That's all it takes? Okay. But I get it. You're maybe like limited in your choices, and this town has brought you nothing but heartache. So I understand the temptation.
You're probably hated by everybody because you're Laurie Strode's granddaughter, even though your dad and mom have been killed, even though your friends have been killed. Yeah, they're clearly all like dirtbags in that town. So I could see why she wants out and maybe wants to burn it all down, but it still seems a little like, all right, girl, like you really. I actually thought like, okay, so do you remember in at the end of part one, she's all like, because she touched the knife, you think, oh my God, did evil pass to her? Kind of like Jamie, you don't remember that?
No.
So at the end of Halloween 2018, she like touches the knife and you're like, why is she eyeing it like that? You almost think that evil passed to her. Then in beginning of Kills, she saves the knife. She gives it to her grandmother. She hides it for her. There's like this whole what's going on here? Like, has she absorbed evil, or why is she hiding the knife? Oh, now she's saving it for Lori. Nothing ever comes of it. Now I'm thinking in this one, oh, is she possessed by evil now too? Is she gonna become a killer like? Corey. Holy shit. I'm like, oh man, are they gonna go all Bonnie and Clyde?
That would have been an interesting way to take the story, honestly.
Like, okay, she wants maybe like revenge on the town, but they didn't do anything to really build it up. So as much as I would have been like, oh, okay, that's different, I still would have been like, well, you didn't really do much to build up her character, so fail anyway. But
so the next note I have in my thing just says, why the incest? let's build the scene for you. Corey's been out and about fucking around with Allison, killing people. He shows back up home. His dad, who's kind of been like a sideline character and has not said much every time his mom has been verbally abusive to him.
But he gave him a nice gift, a motorcycle.
Yeah, to get the fuck away from his mom.
Probably.
Corey gets slapped by his mom for talking back, I guess.
Well, for being with that disgusting whore girlfriend.
Yeah. And then she immediately kisses him on the mouth. And it's such a disturbing scene. And it takes you fucking totally by shock. You're like, am I supposed to blame him for anything? Like, realistically, like, they have done everything in their power to make you feel bad for this character. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah. He murders people and it's fucking terrible. And granted, the people who get killed are not nice people, but he's still a killer. Mm-hmm. So like, now you're just adding on this extra level of like fucked up shit to what? Make us feel even worse for him?
I think the most innocent person is probably the homeless man.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's no implication that unless the homeless man was bringing people to Michael for him to kill, which
maybe
I don't know. Did they imply that? I don't remember.
They didn't really.
They just said he comes out and takes people.
Yeah.
Right?
But never the homeless guy?
No. So he's probably the most innocent person. You know?
Yeah. Like what? Because he almost killed Corey? Like,
yeah. Did that even happen? Were they just... But he could have been like mentally ill, the homeless man.
Yeah.
You know?
Which a very most good possibility. Likely is...
I just... Yeah. Again. So... Mom's a fucking child molester and dad just sits on the sidelines.
And yeah, and it's like, yeah. And once that scene happens and she kind of walks away, the dad just goes, I hope you find someone you love. It's just the whole scene is off-putting because your assumption is that dad knows that the mom has been molesting Corey and has done nothing. Mm-hmm. Mind you, like, the dad's a big dude.
Yeah.
Like, not to be... I'm not saying you should be women, but if your wife is molesting your son, you should probably beat the shit out of her.
Yeah.
Or at least call the cops.
Yeah, call the cops, maybe, you know? Yeah, because if you beat her up, she'll probably say, you beat me, and then she'll take your son away from you.
Exactly.
And then she'll molest him.
Make things way worse.
Yeah, and you'll be in jail while your wife molests your son.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's just like a weird... And by the way, they don't touch on it before or after... It's literally that 1 second scene.
Does he end up killing them?
Yes.
He does. He just goes into the house. That's all you see, right?
You see him kill his mom.
You
and
do?
Like stab her to death.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. I don't even remember it.
Yeah, it wasn't super memorable. I thought that would be like maybe one of the more graphic scenes, but it's not. Mm.
Wow, I don't even remember him fucking killing her.
Yeah.
I gotta watch it again.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to. It's already out for pre-order. Like, that must have said something to... They're probably like, yo, we didn't make money this weekend. Fucking pre-order that shit. Let's bring in some revenue.
So going back to, like, David Gordon Green being like, we're going to take things from real life and put them in the movie. And we're like, please stop doing that. Just give me a fucking slasher movie. There's this whole idea... I know you said you kind of liked it, where it's like... We're infected with evil and we don't know it, right? But that also feels like it could... And she gives Corey a whole speech about it. Like, oh, you're infected. Not just her, but Allison as well. Mm-hmm. Both talk about being infected and not knowing it. Like, is that COVID? Like, is that what you're talking about? Because it feels like that's what you're talking about.
I think you're looking too much into it.
I don't know if I'm looking too much into
You're
it.
Looking
it
too
feels,
much into it.
It feels like that's the case.
No, I literally think it's just like the writing. I don't think it's got anything.
The writing's just bad.
I think the writing's just bad. I don't think it has any. I know the first two movies were heavy. Well, Jamie Lee Curtis maybe makes it heavy.
Makes that heavy.
Yeah, and I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's like collusion with
collusion
with David Gordon Green. But you know, as they collude. But yeah, you know, she had her whole a metaphor for Me Too, and then a metaphor for the BLM riots with the second one. Though I don't see people going. Well, I mean, there was violence during the riots, but that wasn't. Maybe mob mentality, but not going out and beating the shit out of one specific person who did something bad with bats.
But like the mob mentality like also kills the guy. It's like it's very the metaphor is not well done.
Well, that's because
also
she's like a little bit psychotic activist, and I don't think she really comprehends.
She also doesn't. So I've recently found out that, and we'll get back to the movie, but like I know these come off sounding like we're shitting on Jamie Lee Curtis a lot. It's because we are, but
yeah. Her acting was really good in this movie.
Her
though.
Acting was very good in this movie. It's a vast improvement from the second one.
I don't
understand how you as an actress who have pretty much made your bones in horror. You've started out at horror. You've become popular because of horror. You keep going back to horror. Can shit on horror fans the way she does.
What has she shitted on horror fans with?
She like kind of made like a really nasty comment in regards to parents who let their children watch horror because she doesn't watch horror. So she couldn't imagine someone. And I'm like, you know, nobody's making their fucking 6-year-old watch The Thing, right? Nobody's making their 6-year-old watch the original Halloween. Like, it's... You know, there's levels to horror.
Well, okay, hold on. In her defense, she is a celebrity. So
who's out of touch?
Yes, because all celebrities, for the most part, are out of touch. So, you have to hold them to a much lower standard, okay?
It's like the Celebrity Jeopardy bit on...
Abso-fucking-lutely, yes.
On SNL?
Yes.
That they were just god-awful mm-hmm. and couldn't answer anything right?
Right. They see, what was it? Famous titles? Famous titties. But yeah, like
Turd Ferguson. That's my name now.
Yeah, Turd Ferguson. Yeah, let's not try to hold celebrities to high standards.
That's fair. Okay. So let's get back to the ending of this movie. Mm-hmm. One of the more gruesome kills in the movie is the DJ who you've been hearing about. Like, you've been hearing his voice over the entire movie, making light of the previous movies and making light of like Michael Myers and people dying. And
is he still out there? And where is he?
Right. And
is he coming back?
Yeah, was his kill not like pretty much the most gruesome one in the movie?
Yeah, it was definitely the most violent. Is that a metaphor for something?
What, like DJs like getting talk their show, tongue cut out?
Talk show hosts, YouTubers, podcasters.
Uh-oh.
Oh, like do we control the media now? Was that
stupid?
are we the access media? Is that what that was? Cut out our tongues and bash our faces in? Maybe.
For being a little bit mean to the murderer.
I don't know.
He was a little bit mean. Yeah, he was a little bit mean to Corey and Allison.
He tells him to get the fuck off his property. And then he says that Allison and Laurie are the reason Michael killed all those people.
Again, and like what doesn't make sense in terms of what they had planned to what they went with.
Yeah. And then he's clearly just a shit talker and likes to start trouble. And then, he gets his face bashed in. I think his tongue cut out or falls off. I don't remember. I just remember being extremely violent. And then it ends up on the turntable.
Yeah. So this whole movie, there's this connection between Corey and Laurie, right? Also the fact that their names rhyme. Initially, Laurie's like, let me give this kid a chance. I know what he went through.
Let me help him. Let me help him.
And then, you know, as the movie progresses, she's kind of like, fuck this kid, right?
I see evil in him.
Suddenly again, right? So she's trying to dissuade her granddaughter from seeing him anymore. But she's, you know, full dicked in 2 days later, ready to leave town, right?
You're so vulgar.
I know. Thanks. Anyway. She likes she enjoys it when he sticks it in.
Can you stop?
No.
Can we at least try to keep this rated PG-13?
No. Anyway.
I heard you're allowed to say fuck just once.
No. Anyway. Okay. The granddaughter's literally on her way out of town, right? When Corey decides, you know, after killing the 17-year-old band geeks who bullied him.
Whoa. You skipped the major part where he wants to finally get more revenge and get the mask. He goes after Michael and they have that weird little push and shove contest in the sewer.
I'd completely forgotten about that.
How did you forget that? That was so like stupid. Awkward.
Yeah, it was shot. I mean, I like the way it was shot because it was done through the sewage tunnel.
Mm-hmm. And they just have like a little shoving contest.
But the shoving contest was pretty dumb.
Yeah, I was just like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just literally a shoving contest. And then he's like, I need your mask. And he's like, you're just a man. And he takes the mask.
Wait a second. So in case you... So Corey kills a couple of times with Michael, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We forgot the whole doctor and his...
He kills the Allison's co-worker who's fucking the doctor who gave her the promotion
over Allison.
Yeah, and he brings Michael along, but then I guess brings Michael back to the fucking sewer at some point.
No, he didn't bring Michael along. Michael just followed him.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, because he just went there. He killed. He was stabbing the doctor with the wine opener, I think. Right.
Yeah, Michael kills three people in this movie. No, two people.
He kills the girl and...
the cop, technically.
No, so technically he kills three people.
Two people.
No, three.
Two. Who? He kills the cop that Corey brings him and he's like, help me, and he kills him.
Mm-hmm.
And he kills the chick.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
He kills Corey.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does. He snaps his neck.
He had stabbed himself in the throat.
And then he was still alive. He was reaching up when Michael got in and picked up the mask.
Wow. Holy shit, dude. I completely forgot about that part.
Wow.
I don't know if it's... See, I don't blame myself for that, though. I just think it was... Because Corey's, like, character had been built up to be, like, the next big bad in the movie, and then just unceremoniously
kills himself.
Unceremoniously kills himself by stabbing himself in the neck with a knife to sort of like what looks like almost frame Laurie Strode. Mm-hmm. So that way when Allison walks in and she pulled the knife out of his neck, she's like, it's not what it looks like. And then she fucking leaves.
It was so stupid.
And then, yeah, I completely forgot. Fucking, this movie was not great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This movie wasn't good. And there's so many forgettable scenes in it that literally Wednesday. We watched it Friday.
Yeah. Friday night.
It's barely been 5 days, mm-hmm. and I fucking forgot huge chunks of it, you know?
Yeah, it's weird, right? Because I had, we had seen Barbarian, right? And as much as, like, maybe we didn't like it, you didn't like it, I enjoyed it somewhat, but that at least stayed in my head, you know? Like, I could tell you, like, we watched it, what, like a month ago? And I could still tell you, like, everything that happened in it.
I could tell you everything that happened from beginning to end for that movie.
But, yeah, so, I mean, I have to say, Corey was the mass murderer in this movie. He killed everybody. The band, I got to say, the blowtorch to the lead, the drummer.
But they didn't show it.
No, it was...
It was kind of slightly off screen.
Yeah, it was just done for, like, visuals. Like, oh, look how... But, okay, and look at what they did, right? They went, like, hardcore...
In kills
to this, like... soft, like hardcore porn to softcore porn, right, is what they did in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say too, they went very, like, the visual style changed dramatically as well. Kills was like dark and like ugly, and I thought it was like shot poorly.
All three movies are wildly inconsistent,
but I guess that was just like, hey, I'm gonna make, you know, David Gordon Green's like, I'm gonna try different things in each movie, and I'll give him like compliment for that, for saying, you know, 2018 is gonna look one way, Kills is gonna look like dark and ugly with like these ugly colors, and you know, like that kill scene in the end where it was just him by himself, like, you know, just swinging one-on-one like with everybody, it just looked ugly. And Ends has its own style as well, almost as if like there was like a phantom director, you know, like, say, you know, David, you just, each one had somebody helping him, you know, but yeah, so each one had their own style.
Yeah, okay, I can maybe see that.
I think it's pretty cool. It's like, hey, each one's like a different movie, different style, and different type of movie.
I just feel like the reason they feel wildly inconsistent is because of the story.
Because they are.
And it's because they are. I had a lot of issues with these movies, and like with all three, but I would have to say that it also felt maybe kind of like wildly boring, this third one.
Yeah, I mean, when you're building a whole new character from start to finish, with no introduction in any of the other movies, and then he's your, in a way, your big bad, and you have to develop him in this movie, I would say it's going to be a little boring.
Didn't you want to mention something about the commercial?
Oh, the Come and Get Me, Motherfucker?
Yeah.
Sure. So, months ago, like back in June or July, when they showed the first trailer, one of the things I was like, that's so stupid. Laurie Strode says, come and get me, motherfucker, to Michael Myers while she's hiding. And I was like, this is so stupid. Why would she say out loud, come and get me, motherfucker, while Michael Myers is looking to her? And I literally said that same day I posted, I said, this is not going to be in the movie. And then we watched the movie and it wasn't in the movie because it was stupid.
Yeah, I did. And I did like the callback essentially to the... So like, again, this movie maybe has a little bit more merit than Kills.
It does.
But not by much.
It's better than Kills.
It's better than Kills, but it's not great. I think that there's like an interesting callback to the first one. So Laurie is about to get attacked by Michael Myers, and she's sitting upstairs and she's going to kill herself because, you know, her granddaughter left, and... Corey's bleeding out on the floor downstairs, and so she's sitting inside. She calls the police. She says, "I'm going
to
kill myself."
No, Corey's not there yet. She does the kill herself to set up Corey.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah, she does. She calls 911. She says, "I'm going to kill myself," and then she, and then that's when she pulls the trigger, and then Corey shows up, and then opens the door, and she goes, "Do you really think I was going to kill myself?" And she shoots him 2 times.
I thought that was Michael.
No, that was Corey Cunningham.
Again, 5 days ago, and that's how forgettable it is.
You were really like not into it at all.
I really wasn't, and I again by the end I was kind of bored.
Yeah.
But again, the reason I liked that small part was because it very much felt like a tactic that she taught her daughter. Which her daughter used at the end of the first one, where she's crying and she's like, I can't do it. And then he pops up because she's saying she can't do it. And then she's like, gotcha. And she fucking shoots him, right?
Yeah. And she uses it against Corey, though, not Michael Myers.
Right. But they, you know, they show her using the same tactic that she taught her kid.
Yeah. What I found stupid, though, is that she called 911 because she. Couldn't she have just faked the phone call? Like, she actually called?
No, she probably needed backup. She knew she was going to be dealing with someone. So she called for backup.
I think it was literally just, like, maybe. I think it was also just so that, what's his name? Brackett? No, not Brackett.
Hawkins.
Hawkins. Brackett's the old man. Like, it was just so Hawkins would call Allison so that Allison could then be there. It was just shitty writing. They couldn't think of a better way to get Allison there so that he would call her and say, Allison, like, yeah, you know, we just got a dispatch said that your grandmother's going to kill herself, you know, so that she
it
would drive
was
back.
Michael.
No.
Because, wait, she was already leaving town because she had seen her kill Corey.
No, she was supposed to meet up with Corey.
No.
Yes. How much? I will bet you $100 right now.
I don't have $100. I'll bet you $5.
I'll bet you $5. No. Don't you remember her saying to him, did you really think I was going to kill myself? And then she shoots him. That gets the call because she called 911. Hawkins calls Allison to say your grandmother is going to kill herself. She drives back to the house, sees her all.
I don't know. I don't remember.
I'm telling you, I remember it. Trust me. I'm not giving you because I said to myself, and then afterwards, when the whole fight's over with Michael and everything, they had to do that stupid scene where she goes, I know Corey was the one that killed all those people because she thinks some. But I'm telling
you. Before she leaves town.
Before she leaves town again for good. She literally says to Corey, did you really think I was going to kill myself? And then she shoots him. And that's where he goes, if nobody can have her, if I can't have her, nobody can. And then he stabs himself to hopefully frame her. Because she then pulls the knife out of his neck.
But then why does Allison come back again? Because she leaves again. She comes back.
Just because.
When
Michael and her are fighting.
Well, no, when she's already got him pinned down, but he manages to somehow get his weird fucking arm.
And then she breaks his arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Allison does.
No, Allison, yeah, because the story required it. Because they wanted her to have some sort of redemption arc because they ruined her character. And she killed, you know, Michael killed his mom, her mom, her dad, her best friend, her lover. I mean, her boyfriend, her best friend.
Maybe even corrupted her new boyfriend. We don't know.
Corrupted her new boyfriend, got him killed in a way. All the ruin, her life is ruined. The Haddonfield is ruined. You know, Haddonfield is corrupted as well. So she needed her, you know, her power moment, her redemption arc. Her redemption now is she's expelled evil, you know?
And
she's, in a way, betrayed her grandmother by siding with a serial killer monster.
Sure.
And now she's come back to save her because technically she did. She saved her.
Yeah. So the ending.
The meat grinder. You put the six of us in a meat grinder.
The cops show up after Michael is dead and they... they're like, this is not how we do things. But then, like, the other sheriff,
One of the most wasted characters in the movie.
Yeah, the one with the cowboy hat, who was in the second one as well, but just kind of got talked over a lot. Shows up in the last two seconds of the movie.
He was a dick in 2018, right?
Was he a dick?
Yeah, he was a dick. I remember him being a dick. Then in Kills, he was, like...
Forgettable,
though he... Like, I thought they could have done something when, like, the mob mentality starts.
Yeah, something.
And some of the cops start acting mob-like.
Here's what I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And this is not to...
Tell us what you don't understand.
Here's what I don't understand. You have, like, an interesting-looking dude, right, with the cowboy hat. Mm-hmm. You seem like he can maybe go from, like, dickish, who doesn't like Lori, to kind of, like, becoming more understanding when he sees what happened.
Michael Myers is really escaped, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. And then to just doing nothing, right?
Nothing.
You have a character in... Halloween 4, right, of the original, when half the police force gets killed, the sheriff in that goes to
Loomis.
He's like, don't you understand, you just created a lynch mob.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, and Loomis goes, you haven't got a police force, right?
These men may be the only line of protection you have.
Right. So you have this, like, interesting story arc where you really could have just mirrored that if you wanted to pay homage to all the other fucking movies.
To member berries.
But if you know how to pay homage, then you know how to pay homage. Have this character kind of say something similar to Anthony Michael Hall's character, going like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, this is a fucking mob. Someone's going to get hurt. And it's like, but you, like, you know, have him say something different if you don't want to have him say you don't have a police force. But,
yeah,
like,
he said one or two lines and then that was it.
And then literally in this last movie, it's like some low-level cop is like, that's not how we do things. And he's like, it is tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. And then they strap Michael to the fucking hood of the car like a mattress.
Christmas tree.
And, like,
light him up.
Drive him around town honking the horns and blasting the music, and people see, and then they start following with their cars, and then they fucking crowd surf his dead body like Weekend at Bernie's, fucking throw him in a meat grinder. And I swear to God, if this had happened, I would have been way happier. I know it wouldn't have happened. But Lori gets up on the fucking meat grinder with Michael and tosses him in. Meanwhile, a small part of me was like, is she gonna jump in too? Because that would have just been a perfect little fucking psychotic ending.
That would have been ridiculous.
No, I feel like more people would have liked it. I'm like, this bitch is about to jump in too, because she's ending the cycle.
No, people are enraged that the mentality is that, like, Michael's not in this movie. His final battle with Lori was like 3 minutes. Yeah, I can only imagine if
he was in like less than. So there's this thing going on right now online where people who really like the movie are trying to tell people who really don't like the movie, you don't care about Halloween movies, you just care about Michael Myers. First things first, no. That's one. Secondly, people who are making the comparison that, like, Michael wasn't really in a ton of the first one, the 1978 one. You're right. He wasn't. It was roughly around the same amount of screen time. However, you have Dr. Loomis being his fucking hype man through the whole movie, going, the devil's eyes. I shot him 6 times.
The blackest eyes.
I tried to treat him for 5 years and then locked him up for 8. You know, like, you have a fucking absolute hype man in the first movie in Loomis, who's creating this fear surrounding this guy. Not to mention, you have scenes of the girls being stalked. Even if you don't see Michael himself, you have the atmosphere. There is no atmosphere surrounding Michael in this. So shut your fucking idiot mouth. You're allowed to like what you like. Before I continue, you're allowed to like what you like. That being said, don't try to throw some sort of, like, statistic with the numbers and make the comparison for the two when there is no actual comparison. People don't have to like your movie, and you can like it, and it's fine. Okay? But don't make that stupid comparison.
Was that it?
Yeah.
I think people have other reasons too, but,
like,
that it's just so awesome, but I don't care. Anyway, so... What did you like about the movie?
Corey.
Okay.
The actor, specifically. His storyline. Not what they did with him. Not how little it actually mattered to the story.
Yeah, I would have to say
literally just the guy who played Corey was good, well, and that's
I mentioned what I liked. I'd have to say my biggest gripe with the movie is basically them. Whether if it was Gordon Green or with Danny McBride and the other writers, or if the studio itself just chickened out too, like they did, I guess, with Halloween 4 and 5, that he didn't become the killer at the end, like officially. Why not just, if you're going to push this whole, the whole movie you're pushing for Corey, that he, like, inherits the evil or becomes the evil, why not just make him survive? And then at the end, you know, you have the mask on her table. They're taking Michael out. Why not just make it finish with the new killer? Who cares? And then if nobody likes it, you reboot the franchise again, or you just skip it, or you
start. They're going to reboot it again anyway in a couple of years.
I don't care. The Halloween, you know, I loved the first one. Let's be honest. All the sequels, if you really break it down, they're trash, okay? They're you love them because you grew up watching them, and you just love, like, the killer, the unstoppable killer, Michael Myers, the music, right? It's just all, like, nostalgia now for the most part. The original Halloween is the best Halloween. These are just, it's all the same shit, right? I admire him for trying something new. He fails, okay? Because it was all done last minute. If it was built up properly, I think he'd be getting more praise and props, okay?
Yeah.
He chickened out, McBride chickened out, the studio chickened out, and I think he would have had, like I said, not just that they built it up, but more, wow, motherfucker, like, you know, yeah. You got a fucking, what, 60, 70-year-old Michael Myers at this point? I'm sorry. I had trouble buying that in 2018. Now it's 4 years later on top of that. I'm supposed to believe this old dude is killing people and fucking doing jump kicks and murdering a mob of people. Like, I don't care how evil you are. When your body's that old, you're breaking down. So
what did you like about it though?
I said it throughout the movie. Like, I liked Corey. I thought the actor was really good. Mm-hmm. I liked Jamie Lee Curtis's acting in this one because she sucked in the last one, but that's probably because she was barely in it.
I like the meet cutes with Sheriff Hawkins and Laurie.
Yeah, but you know, like, this is another mostly thing I don't understand.
Mostly,
right?
The cuteness.
They were so, like, their little interactions and kills was probably, like, the only thing I liked with Jamie Lee Curtis, because her acting like crazy and then, like, standing up with the knife and then, like, being in pain and injecting herself was, like, horrendous. Their interaction in kills was, like, my favorite thing with Jamie Lee Curtis, right? Mm-hmm. How is it that they don't have a life together? Like, it's 4 years later when they're talking about cherry blossoms and stuff, right? I would have expected something, but then they probably couldn't have had their story. And if they were living together and in love, the Corey shit probably couldn't have happened. The interaction at the end couldn't have happened. Or they probably didn't want to have to be clever writers and figure out a way to get Hawkins out of the house, you know, like on duty working. But anyway,
literally it.
Yeah, literally. But yes, I loved their interaction. I thought they were very cute. That actor is phenomenal.
Yeah,
they had a great chemistry together, like they did in part two in Kills. You know, the little time they had together,
mm-hmm.
that they had a love at some point. You know, like, or they had a crush when they were younger.
Yeah. All three movies, every time they interacted, they were...
Yeah, they had something going on. That's the only thing that was built over the three movies properly.
Yeah, pretty much.
Literally. That was it.
The Hawkins-Strode love story is the only thing that was kind of built correctly.
Yes.
That's so stupid.
So I enjoyed that very much. Like I said, Jamie Lee Curtis's acting was good. This was probably, like, her best, like, role, but probably because she played a normal person for the most part. She wasn't playing, like I said, like Sarah Connor, you know?
Yeah, I guess that makes
sense. Yeah, I think she was very good. I liked more of her screen time, even though I still think it was cut short in this too, because I get it. You're focusing on Corey. What else did I like? I said it too. I give props to McBride and Green for, you know, when you have child molesting parents, the effect it has on the children, you know? So I don't know. He didn't really, like, I mean, what?
I won't give him credit for that. I won't give him credit for that because he's no, because you know why?
What?
Because you already have this kid going through like massive amounts of trauma. Mm-hmm. You have no, you have a way to like maybe put it into the story where it would have been there from the beginning or whatever the case is. You made a half a second scene referencing it, and then that is it, and then didn't touch upon it. You don't fucking get credit for that.
Well, no,
okay,
I meant like the credit of him killing them afterwards,
like him killing his dad, yeah, who did nothing to protect him.
Yeah.
It's like the chick from The Brood killing the dad because she didn't protect him from, yeah, yeah, protect him from the mom.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, like that's the credit I'll give him. I mean, I know you didn't touch on it, but look at the effects it could have on you. Though some people still make themselves so much better, obviously.
Obviously, but like it's just, it's so fucking. I mean,
but and like
again,
I don't know,
you don't even know if that's the case, though.
Yeah, because she just kisses him on the mouth.
Yeah,
that's why I never kiss him on the mouth.
Stupid.
But what else did I like in the movie? I liked the opening. I liked the blue colors, even though, I mean, if you look, I saw a meme of everything. It was Halloween 2018 mimics Halloween. Halloween Kills mimics Halloween 2, and Halloween Ends mimics Halloween 3, the blue, like all the things just...
Which kind of makes sense in terms of story, too, because the 1 and 2 were the same night, and then 3
was a different movie.
is literally a different movie with a non-Michael Myers character.
Yeah.
Except Tom Atkins fucks.
Tom Atkins fucks. Well, so does Corey Cunningham, I guess.
Corey Cunningham fucks, too, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever, what's his name, Rowan Campbell?
Yeah, Campbell. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ron Campbell fucks.
Yeah, yeah. So I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the look of the film. Like, it looked better
than
Kills.
Better
than,
than the second one.
But everything, I think, was better than Kills. I'd give this movie, like, borderline 1.5 to 2 stars, and I'd give Kills 1, you know?
I'd give Kills half a star.
Yeah, that's brutal. Yeah. I could agree with that, too. Like, I hated Kills. You know, I really did. I hated it. What this movie accomplishes, though, is memes. Like, awesome memes.
I think Kills is more the meme movie. This had too much.
Kills basically just has the evil dies tonight and terrible acting. This movie definitely had way better acting.
That I can agree with.
Yes.
Well, the meme. So speaking
and
of
I
memes,
think that's about it. Like, I don't think there's really much.
Speaking
else.
Of memes, there is one thing I just wanted to mention, and I'd seen it kind of after we had seen the movie, and I didn't make the connection. So the girl who plays the survivor from the second movie, who's the bartender, I can't remember, Lindsay Wallace or something like that.
Yeah, the Real Housewife of Staten Island.
So right, so she's a real housewife in like real life. And there's a meme that's been floating around the internet for years of her holding back a blonde woman who's yelling and pointing at someone.
Oh, yeah.
And they make the meme in the movie. And I'm like... But why?
Did they really?
They made the meme in the movie.
Who does she hold back?
The mom.
Oh, the mom.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I think
Holy
I actually might have
shit.
Even sent you the picture of the meme.
That's right. I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
Yeah. What? And they didn't do nothing with her. You bring her back.
See?
All right. That's not necessarily true. Though.
It's
like,
kind of. No, but it is, though. It kind of is. All
right. Come on. Yeah, there's cringe moments in this, too, though.
There's a lot.
Yeah, so for its better acting, there's still cringe moments. And I still give it, like, even though I somewhat, like, liked it. But I'm sorry. I didn't like it. I wouldn't say I liked it. I liked it better than Kills.
But that's not saying much.
That's not saying much, yes. Because it's still, like, 1.5 to 2 stars tops out of 5. And... You know, maybe if I watched it again, maybe I would enjoy it, or maybe I would hate it more. I don't know. I admire it for trying something different. Because, like, let's be honest, like, Halloween's a dead franchise. I'm sorry. It is. It really is. There's nothing really more. What else can you do with it? Be honest with yourself.
Well,
can you? And I understand people's rage. You're like, oh, Final Showdown, because that's, like, the commercials were, like, the Final Showdown. And
yeah.
Let's be honest. But, like... What? You're going to have 60-something-year-old Laurie Strode versus 60-something-year-old almost beaten to death, killed Michael Myers, who, though he was OP in the last one, let's just be honest. Like, the writing was shit. They dropped everything that they did in the prior movie. Everything. And that's, I think, where the anger comes from. Everybody's just pissed because it's like, but... You know, he's OP. Like, no, he fucked up everybody.
Yeah, she's traumatized. She's not going to be able to get over that.
Now they killed everybody. I would have been more impressed if Haddonfield was like almost like a ghost town, like Detroit now type thing, like something I saw at a Barbarian, you know, like,
oh yeah,
it's when like everybody
call
just,
back to that movie,
yeah, like everybody just like left because that's what they should have done. Who the fuck would stay in Haddonfield after like a supernatural serial killer killed all these people and was on the loose? I would just flee, leave all your shit behind, you know. I would have been more impressed if you showed like where these people went, you know, like do in between cutscenes of them on the run and maybe like we have to go back, you know, like we have to go stop him, like do something like that. I mean, or the few remaining people saying like it either we run or we kill him, you know, like this is our town, like I don't care, but like show Haddonfield as a wasteland with what happens when a town is overtaken by a serial killer. Like this, what you're showing here, like, oh, it's all beautiful town. Oh, I'm normal now. And like, everybody's fine. How the fuck could you be fine?
Meanwhile, there's like, again, what you said, like makes sense, right? You have the town supposedly being infected by, you know, evil, mm-hmm. and there's people killing themselves and like double suicides and all the like murder mm-hmm. suicides. And okay, fine. But you still have like the town looking relatively like, I don't really see anything boarded up. It seems like a regular amount mm-hmm. of people. Even the amount of people who are there.
They're still throwing parties. They're still doing... Like, I want to see it more of like a waste... Not a wasteland, but like a dying town. Like, and then the people who stay, they just kill themselves. Where are they going to go? They have nothing left. Like, that's the storyline you write. Not this, like...
Introduction of a new character.
Of a new character.
In the last fucking movie.
In the last movie. I'm sorry, this should have been the end, as in the end of Laurie, the end of Michael, the end of Haddonfield, you know, like...
That, you know what? That would have actually been, like, the end of Haddonfield. Like,
yes.
You have maybe 20, 30 people left in the town.
Like,
you have...
Have, like, ransackers who come in to try to, like, raid the homes, have Michael kill them, or have some, like, what... There was just potential, and I'm sorry, you know, and McBride and Green just like, yeah, they didn't know what the fuck to do, and that was it.
Yeah.
And they just wrote, like, I'm going to make a special character who was molested by mommy.
That's what I felt, but hold on, though. But this is why I mentioned this at the beginning. It felt like it was a script that they found, that they were like, hey, this is an interesting story, but let's throw Michael Myers in here somewhere and we'll just use this as our third movie.
I can believe,
that's why
possible.
It feels that
that's
way.
That's possible, sure. You know, but I mean, it could just also be that they hearkened on the, let's just go do what they did in part four, but let's just take it further. So instead of making an effort to write a better story, they just copied and they just built a script on that. Let's just take Jamie Lloyd, that's what it was, right? Jamie Lloyd, not Jamie Strode. Jamie Lloyd's character.
Essentially, it's like, pretty much.
And just, we'll just take it further, but, you know, no relation to Laurie. And we'll just turn him into a fucking serial killer. But we'll say mommy molested him too, and he killed the kid, and we'll do this, like, no. And you know what? Now the more I'm thinking about it, the more I fucking hate it, okay? So are we done? I think we're done, right?
Yeah, I think we're done. And I think it's pretty safe to say that, in fact, this movie did end on a whimper.
Yeah, and if you like us, give us a follow. Spread the word about us, okay?
Yeah.
We tell it like it is, okay? Yeah. And we could be a little fucking cutthroat sometimes.
Yeah,
you know.
But sometimes it deserves it. Cutthroat Cin Pod on Twitter, cutthroat_cinema on Instagram, right?
Yes.
I'm O the Horror. That's OOHH the Horror.
I'm Steel Lens Cinema. That's Steel_Lens_Cinema. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter.
Yes, and my
Twitter.
I just do the account, Cutthroat Cin Pod, on Twitter.
But right. I hope you enjoy us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like and share and subscribe and send us to your friends, man.
Yeah.
Make your family listen. Give us some reviews.
Yeah. Good or bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we could do this full time and give you more content.
Yeah. Alrighty. All right. And then what's our next thing going to be on?
Let's not fucking do that.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. Alrighty.
Thanks for joining us, as always.
Bye.